Last Sunday, I was teaching children's chapel, and we were talking about Lent. What it is, why we do it, what we're giving up, what we're taking on, remembering, you know, what is Easter, what are we getting ready for? And I thought that I was doing a pretty good job explaining it, trying to use, you know, pretty simple, direct words, make sure that I wasn't using too much jargon, right? And one of the kids looked up at me as we were talking about all of this, and he said, "That's weird. That doesn't make any sense. Why do we do that?" And I tried to give some answer that related to a sports team metaphor. We'll see how successful I was, perhaps in a few years, but let's just say that what was given up was primarily vegetables, gingerbread, which he noted, "I really hate that." So I'm not totally sure that the point got through. But it struck me as perhaps one of the most honest questions one could ask about Lent. It's weird. Why do we do it? Because Lent is about discipline. It is about depriving ourselves, but it is not about deprivation in and of itself. And especially as we look at the world around us, as we look at our country and our communities now, what does Lent mean for us today? And so I'd like to share with you some of the writings of Walter Brueggemann. For those of you who may not have heard of him, he's a biblical scholar who specializes in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, and he's a prolific writer and a wonderful preacher. And he wrote an article on the Ten Commandments, which was our text from Exodus that we heard read today. And we often take the Ten Commandments, perhaps much like Lent, to just be another set of rules, another list of things to do, or rather, not to do. But Walter Brueggemann reframes them in their context. He talks about how these were rules given to a people who had just been set free from Pharaoh and enslavement in Egypt. They had just begun this new journey into the wilderness, into new lands that they had never before been. And so Walter Brueggemann writes, "Thus, the Ten Commandments are strategies for staying emancipated once you get away from Pharaoh. The strategy, first of all, says you have to honor God. That's the first three commandments, to the exclusion of every idol, every ism, such as racism or sexism or nationalism, or the worship of stuff that is rare or precious or attractive or beautiful or empowering. The new strategy means that in the Ten Commandments, to take the neighbor with utmost seriousness. So the last five commandments are all about the neighbor and treating neighbors with legitimacy and dignity and viability, and especially disadvantaged neighbors. Not to violate the neighbor for the sake of greed. And between these two commandments of honoring God and taking the neighbor seriously, at the center of the Ten Commandments, is Sabbath day. Keep Sabbath. Take a break from the rat race of busyness and exhaustion, and do not let Pharaoh define your life. If we think about these three strategies in the Ten Commandments, each of them contrasts with the way of Pharaoh. Pharaoh believes that there are many loyalties, all of which enslave. Pharaoh believes that there are no real neighbors, and Pharaoh never stops for Sabbath. It's 24/7. Moses at Mount Sinai declares that there are new possibilities for life beyond the pressures of anxiety and fearfulness and greed. In other words, the Ten Commandments are how we stay free. I was talking to a parishioner the other day about how it feels like sometimes we are marching or talking about the same things that we talked about 50 years ago. Our history has shown us that it's not enough to get free. We have to stay free. We didn't finish the work back then. We started it. And we see that freedom is a practice, an ongoing work, while being rebound is a slower losing of discipline, a numbing and an acquiescence to the world that tells us what is or isn't possible. And so for this Lent, as I also did for last Lent, I decided to give up online shopping. And I already failed once, maybe twice. But it's not just about confronting what I buy, although of course financial stewardship is important. It's about confronting and trying to free myself from a system that has me caught. I love soaps and lotions and makeup, but I see that I am trapped by a system that has cleverly and slyly reframed self-care as being the same thing as consumerism and selfishness. That taking care of myself somehow means it's okay to take away from others. These are the lies that Pharaoh tells us to keep the economy of Egypt running. But as Paul says, the weakest part of God is more powerful than all human strength. Our God is stronger than Pharaoh, and our God, the God of Exodus, can and will set us free. And so this is the frame for our Lenten practices for the season of Lent. It is our time to stay free, to practice staying free. And as our gospel reminds us today, even religion can become bound by Pharaoh's world. Jesus entered the temple and found that the temple had become corrupt. And we could maybe see how this practice of having money changers and those who are selling animals could have started out with a good intent. After all, people were coming to the temple to perform their ritual sacrifices. And so perhaps it was easier, rather than schlepping your animal all the way from home, to just buy one at the temple. But it had become monetized. What should have been holy had become consumer-driven. They were selling what was needed, and yet they had turned the temple into Pharaoh's economy rather than God's. And so what did Jesus do? I remember those bracelets we all wore in the 90s, what would Jesus do? And I feel like this isn't what they meant or were thinking of. But Jesus did something that might make us a little uncomfortable. Jesus came in and fashioned a whip and drove them out. He flipped the tables. He was righteously angry when he saw that the temple had become something other than for God. This God of the Exodus, the crucified and resurrected Christ, that is the God whose weakness is stronger than all human strength, and this is the God that Jesus was helping us reorient ourselves to in this season. The God who we ask to set us free from Pharaoh and from all that binds us. So how does Pharaoh have us bound? Do we really believe that the God of the Exodus, that the crucified and risen Christ can set us free? And once we become free, how can we stay free? The Israelites struggled with these questions too. If you remember, after they were set free from Egypt, after this big and miraculous exodus from Egypt, they found themselves in the wilderness. They found themselves wandering in a new land that they had never been to before, and they were uncomfortable, and they were scared, and they were hungry. And so the people cried out to God, they cried out to Moses, and they said, "It would have been better for you to have left us in Egypt. At least there we had food every day, we had something to drink. It would have been easier to not be free." Their pleas remind us that God provides our freedom, but it isn't easy. And it isn't forever. It's hard and deliberate and requires attentiveness and courage as we go through those new lands we have never before been to. It seems to me that our country is on the verge of walking into some new land as well. This time, led by the very teens that our society spends so much time putting down for being on their cell phones too much. Well, these same young people are now organizing our freedom on those phones. And so Matt and I, along with other parishioners, will be attending the March for Our Lives on March 24th. And while I don't think that the organizers were holding a liturgical calendar when they chose the date, one can dream, the date that they chose, Saturday, March 24th, is the day before Palm Sunday. It's the last day of the Lenten season. And so before we grab our palms and sing with Jesus the hosannas as he comes into Jerusalem humbly, we have an opportunity to walk alongside our young people who are asking that in this Lenten season we value their lives more than the economy of Pharaoh, which tells us that we aren't safe without the weapons of war in our streets. And we march because we believe our children when they say they can see a better world. When Jesus saw the economy of Pharaoh set up in the temple, he made a whip and drove them out, yelling, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." We too must ask how we have made God's house, our country, a marketplace for fear, selfishness, idolatry, and greed. How we can honor God and, as Walter Brueggemann says, take the neighbor with utmost seriousness, as we have been commanded. Walter Brueggemann concludes his reflection by writing, "Lenten discipline is not about giving up chocolate, maybe a good idea, but about giving up the expectations of Pharaoh and embracing new disciplines of neighborliness, justice, generosity, and hospitality. It is the work that all of us may practice in Lent." May it be so. Amen.